Hey YouTube, Captain Ron here with Tony Sweet on Truth Be Told. We're having a great time here at the 50th anniversary of MUFON at their symposium, and this gentleman is a legend in our community, of course, and the Rendlesham Forest case is probably the biggest case in the world outside of maybe Roswell. It's got the most credible witnesses, it's got the most highest number of witnesses, there's a lot of ancillary information that fits with it. It's a fascinating case. It's a great honor for Tony and I to sit down next to James Peniston. Thank you for sitting down with us.
Nice to be here.
We have a new book just came out last month.
Yes.
The Rendlesham Enigma.
It came out yesterday.
Yesterday.
Wow. I know, and it's the Rendlesham Enigma, and it's available on Amazon.com right now. Working on getting it to Kindle, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. So 702 pages. It's healthy.
Holy cow. Now, this is 40 years after the event. And it's 702 pages.
Right. I wanted to everybody to know the exact truth of what happened.
Perfect.
And then they can make up their own minds.
And you've been living with this for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. That's the only drawback is I hate to say I'm getting used to it, but I still, like, I have to be careful of being in a presentation when I start talking about it. If you see me going for that water, when I'm telling it, I'm back there. I'm back that night, and it's difficult sometimes.
I can't even imagine.
Now,
does this the Rendlesham Enigma, does it cover the whole story?
Covers everything.
Wow.
It covers. I'll tell you right now, the Rendlesham Enigma is 85% of it's not known to the public or the witnesses even.
Wow.
And
this is one of the most. I was just telling these guys how it's one of the most. Cases with the most information out there. There's been documentaries, there's been little stories, whatnot, and here this has got new information.
Absolutely, it's never been released. Of course, there's some, you know, basic staples that are there, but what it was is that, you know, documentaries, film companies, podcasts, they have their own spin on stuff, their own reason, and very well, everything I've ever done, documentaries, sitting on a
cutting room floor.
That's right.
They cut it all up. Not here at Truth Be Told. We let it live off the deck. But yes, I know what you're saying. I've heard that from many, many guests. Their story's not really out there because they took their six clips they wanted and that was it.
Yeah, it's just like I did one recently, a podcast, and of course advertising the book coming up. And plus I talk about in there, they said, do you have theories on this? I said, yeah, I have theories. You want to hear a theory? And I told them a theory. And what they did is they left all that part out about it being a theory, and they put it down as fact, what I thought. I went, oh my God, they made it their cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I says, yeah, I don't like that.
Van Daniken even says that about Chariots of the Gods, how he says, I wrote a question mark, but nobody saw that. I was just asking. They don't. They spin it that it's you. And that's
They're in it for, you know, to make money, and that's their, you know,
there's
a corporation or whatever, and that's what they do it for. But I understand that. I'll tell you one of the, not to give them a plug, but Prometheus Entertainment, or maybe it's
Ancient Aliens History Channel.
Yeah.
Sure.
I worked with Kim Sharon, and she's fact based. And she doesn't spin it, and I really appreciated that. So I'm just talking about one out of hundreds of interviews.
That's true.
I've had some good podcasts, though, too.
Like Truth Be Told.
Like Truth Be Told, I would take it. This one's pretty real.
You know, I can't tell you how many times. Travis Walton. And your story and Travis's story, to me, are so fascinating. We just want it right from the horse's mouth. I don't need you to spin it or exaggerate it. It's already incredible enough.
Well, that's true. They want you to tell what's inside the person's own little box. You know what I mean? Their box of thinking. They want it to match theirs, and
it's not going to.
And you know what? Like The Craft, the number one question I get about it. You know, tell me what it was. I don't know what it was.
Right. That's the whole point.
I says I can tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't an aircraft. You know, I know what they are.
Would you do us a favor and just take us there maybe just for a minute? Because this is the most important part of the story, I think, is when you're standing there and you are one of the few people on Earth that we know saw a craft right in front of you, even had a chance to put your hands on it, I believe, and you were that close to it. What was it like? Did you know that there's no way it could be ours? What was your sense when you saw this
thing? I knew that from 15 feet away.
Really? You're like, there's no way that instantly.
Well, yeah, the lighting, the way it worked, the way it dissipated, the effect of these colors running through the fabric of the craft. How could it be sitting on something that's lit, right? Not structured like a land, like, you know, aircraft struts, stuff like that.
Like, my mind goes to, if you're there, this has got to be blowing through your mind. Oh my God, you suddenly know we're not alone. You suddenly know there's other things out there. This has got to be overwhelming. And you're a young man at the time.
Well, I know it wasn't.
Younger man.
I know it wasn't in the James Book aircraft. Like I said, one of the things is prior to that assignment, I was with at Offutt. I mean, there was a lot of R&D, research and development there. And I heard a lot of briefings and future craft, future designs, 50 years in the future. They all had Ariens. They all had flaps. They all have engines. They all make sound. You know, it just didn't fit in.
What did it look like? Was it large? Was it?
No, it was very small. It was about 9 feet long by about 6.5 feet high. I mean, as a triangle. The team that came in a week later from Langley, based on the ground temperature and that, they determined that in the impression from the landing pods, it was about 7,500 pounds. So that's light. I mean, A-10 aircraft, something like that, is like,
you know,
that's
from
22
now,
tons.
It sounds like a drone almost.
I tell you what, it wasn't manned.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I knew that because it just couldn't fit in there. But it was you know what, that would be the new terminology. It would be a drone of some kind. Yeah, I knew it was unmanned. But I still felt intelligence. It made intelligent moves.
And it was seamless, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know. That's something. How can you pour an aircraft? You know, that's pretty much it. And the other thing is you got to have air disturbance. I mean, it's taken off. You got to have some air disturbance. None. No sound.
No sound. No wind. That's amazing.
And then the other thing that makes it believe that it was intelligent is when it got up to the canopy of the forest. And made a slight right turn. Why are you making a slight right turn? Well, that's under intelligent control. So, of what? I don't know. But
what was the color on it?
It was completely opaque. It was black. The coloring that ran through it with the globular light was different colors, like red, yellow, and that kind of stuff. But that dissipated though. But it was a quite unique craft. We spent a lot of time redesigning the craft. It took us, it was some computer guys and stuff. I think it was 6-7 months. And so the pictures that are in the, we made a working model before 3D print.
Very cool.
And I know that's why it took so long. We had 3D print.
Right.
And anyway, the pictures in there are of the craft, how it looked.
Awesome.
It just, and we tried, when we were writing the book, the pictures that we recreated, we made them exactly. I could tell I was satisfied that they were exactly like it looked or what the approach was or stuff like that.
I'm glad you did that. I always think that to myself. Like, why wouldn't that person just tell them what it looked like?
I want you inside my mindset.
Yeah.
And I want you, and then that's another thing, like in chapter 3 and 4 of the book, it describes my incident, the encounter, the investigation. And I'll guarantee you this, you will be there with me. You'll be really exhausted after reading those 3 or 4 chapters.
I wanted to, it's awesome.
But that's what I wanted. I wanted a reader there. And I went back to those 2 chapters over a 2-year period, kept going back. And you know, how do I remember all this stuff? In the Air Force, I kept journals.
You on the spot took notes.
I took spots, real time, real world notes.
That's another strong thing about this case that you don't have in most cases, is he was standing there writing down notes as it was happening right in front of him.
I didn't think I was going to survive.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Even
when regenerated on takeoff.
Who knows what it could have done?
I got down. I thought I activated something.
Wow.
And so I got back down, ate dirt, and and then there was no sound. I just watched take off, and I'm like, oh, okay. So there's relief going on. There's, you know, awe. There's just
Fear.
Fear. I mean, that was there.
Do you know, Jim, the 20 years ago, I saw something on the Rendlesham case, and I remember thinking to myself way back 20 years ago that there was this interesting thing where you wrote down in your notebook zeros and ones that you took off the craft. You remembered these numbers, you wrote them down. Now we think of that as binary code. We wouldn't have thought of that 40 years ago. What do you got about that now?
Well, I'm still perplexed over it. But yeah, you're right. We didn't know what it was. As a matter of fact, it was inadvertently just let out in 2011, and not by me. But I think the most important part of the binary is recently, I'm talking the 26th of May of this year.
Wow.
The fine structure constant was discovered in it by Gary Osborne. And this is like a God particle. This is something that is proven.
In the code.
It's in the code. And it goes over like right now, normally with our digital process, we go over like five or six digits.
Okay.
Carl Sagan once said, if you went over eight, they're brilliant. The life form for a response message or something like that. At the time of 1980 at Bentwaters, those there went over 14. So it's absolute proof positive. It's from a higher intelligence. That's not even in question no more. Who? Well, that's in question. Where? That's in question. I mean, but we have our theories, but you know.
See, to me, this is so strong and credible. I feel like this should be the headline news tomorrow on CNN. We should all be like, hey, look what we've got. And
well,
it's not. How do you feel about that?
I don't, I'm not really crazy about that, but yeah. I'll tell you what, I think we're being, you know, I want to go into this a little bit, but there are sightings throughout the world. I would say 1%, the 1% factor, are actual sightings. The rest is all explainable, the other stuff. Or else some sight.
And 1% is a lot.
Well, take just in the United States, there's 5,000. That's 5,000 reportings.
That's right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's plenty to sit there and...
we only need one.
Yeah, and I think that, we're being monitored that way. But by who, where, why, I don't know the answer to that. But and you do get, I tell you what, I get legitimate stuff sent to me, and I go, can we talk?
What can I do with this?
That's what I say, can we talk?
Yeah.
And I do have some friends that are at JPL here, and I'm not going to go any farther and say who. I've worked here for a long time. And also someone that works at one of the movie companies that they make, you know, digital fantasy.
Sure.
Yeah. And so those are the nice, those are the good people to send them to when you say, is this a fake? Is this
they
real?
They can tell. Yeah,
they can
sure.
tell.
Right.
They can tell if it's CGI or whatever. And this one I had recently was in Wisconsin, and it took them like 6 months, and they come back and said, it's unknown. I went, what? I said, let's talk on the phone.
Hmm.
It's unknown? I went, wow. And they said, well, we're going to send you another one. It happened in Italy. And they sent me another picture. It was pretty similar. I went, ooh. So I got back with the person that sent it to me. I said, well, you got yourself a bona fide UFO. And I said, we don't know what it is. But for some reason, according to my source, they occasionally are all over the world. They show up. And those are the ones that interest me. I come to a conference to do the Q&A, which I talked too long today, so I didn't get to do it. But I want a Q&A because, you know what? Every once in a while, there's stuff I left out until now in the Rendlesham incident that would key me in as a related incident.
Interesting.
But once the book's out, I'm pretty much...
Is it interesting for you to when you hear one of these cases that's similar to yours, does it make you feel... You know, that other people have had the same experience?
Because
you had to feel pretty alone in 1980 that, oh my God, look what happened to me.
I was alone, and that's why the Air Force sent me a lifeline. And that was
crazy. And this is another incredible part about your story. It's not like they shut you up and said, get out of here.
No, never did that. They're very supportive.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the general consensus in the world is that. You're in one of the most famous cases, and yet they supported you.
I got promoted.
I kept getting promoted.
I kept my clearance.
And then they let you retire with disability and a whole package, and they were really good to you, it seems like.
yeah, I have no complaints with the Air Force. They're very supportive.
That's fantastic.
Everybody that I know that was involved directly has had that support by them. Maybe not initially. I did with Colonel Highbush. That was my lifeline. He kept in contact with me all through my Air Force career because I couldn't talk about them.
You know, who can you talk to about
it? I couldn't talk to nobody. It was top secret. It was a special access to it. I mean, you had to have a need to know, and that eliminated probably everybody I knew, pretty much, that was still in.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I go to bases and I hear other security police talking about that incident. I just sit there and listen. That's what it is.
And now that you've got the book out and years have passed, you've never had anybody come back to you and say, like, keep it quiet or anything like
that? No, we got a thanks to Colonel Halt. When he retired in 91, and I retired in 93 from the Air Force, Halt told me, he says, whatever you do, he says, make sure they ask about that in the non-disclosure agreement when you retire. And, you know, it has all our top secret stuff, our, you know, nuclear stuff, our contingency plans, all that stuff. So I'm sitting down with the personnel guy, and I says, there's nothing in here about RF Bentwaters or Woodbridge. And they tweaked a message off to the air staff at the Pentagon. And a couple days later, I go back down there, and he says, you ain't going to believe the response to this. He says, nothing classified happened on those dates, so therefore nothing else is classified. I went, can I get a copy of that? So that's what I'm talking about. And if you hear anybody that was prior military working in the DoD talking about what they say is classified, they're lying to you. They're lying to you, okay, because you cannot. They will put you in jail. Someone's got to go to jail.
Well, here's the answer. Now we know why. Yeah. Now we know why, because it wasn't on that sheet.
Yeah, that's the only way they could. Anybody else could talk about it. That's the reason I am. I got the Twix saying nothing's classified. The Air Force was in a conundrum about it because of what do they do? Say it's classified? So does that mean, of course, it's actually happened? Yeah, of course.
Right.
So it's
a great quandary. This is such a great case. Listen, this is a book for everybody to get. Rendlesham Enigma, 700 pages. Sit down for a month and read this thing. I can't wait to get a look at it. It's just so fascinating, and there's new information. I really appreciate you sitting down with us.
I really appreciate it.
Really enjoyed it.
It's been fun.
For Truth Be Told, I'm Captain Ron with Tony Sweet. We'll talk to you next time.